B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's do the NJAM Insurance Group traffic. Then we are.
I don't know. I don't have internet.
Well, you know what? Then we
I don't have internet.
We can do easy money instead.
Do
because
that first.
We have $1,000. You have no internet, but we have that. You would think with $1,000 we could buy internet. But
we can't, though.
Then we have to give it to you. So here we go.
93.3 WMMR. Easy money.
Let's give this away. The keyword for the hour is listen. L-I-S-T-E-N. You have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can enter using the MMR mobile app or via the contest page, WMMR.com. You'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. Now, you'll get a call if you're randomly selected in this Beasley Nationwide Contest or... And you win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Again, the word is listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. Good luck from Meineke and MMR. Do we have it now, Kev?
Nope, I have nothing. But what I will say is that Ruby Tuesday is great. Fajitas are back at Ruby Tuesday. They're fresh grilled veggie, shrimp, and chicken fajitas for only $7.99. Flavors that make you feel like a fiesta. And no, I do not have an internet, so I apologize.
Okay.
No one is going to get this traffic report right now.
Traffic has been brought to you by NJAM Insurance Group. Traffic.
Yes.
So there you go.
I don't have it either, Kath, if it makes you feel any better.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I saved some in a box back there.
Do you
go get it?
Yeah.
Do you have any pretzels?
Go get it while we're doing the Bizarre File. And then after we do the B File, we're doing the MMR concert announcement. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you by us. We'll start with this. A British man sentenced to indefinite detention, according to the BBC, after having been caught on camera attempting to burn down a synagogue and instead burned down himself. When police arrested him at his home, he had burns to his hands, forehead, and hair, and was carrying two knives and two lighters. As he was put into a police van, the gentleman, Morgan, said, "Please tell me that the synagogue is burning to the ground. If not, it's poor preparation."
I'm the worst anti-Semite ever.
The court heard the attack on the building coincided with the Jewish Feast Day, commemorating disasters, including the Holocaust. The judge handed Morgan a hospital order without limit of time, saying most people would feel, quote, anger and revulsion for what he did. The video, though, is a true instant karma classic as the dude is just engulfed in flames.
There you go.
So thank goodness for that. A St. Paul Community College student who threatened to grab a shotgun and shoot two women in the face when he couldn't find the right classroom on his first day of school was placed on probation.
Wow.
You seem to be a little tense.
They also sentenced Paul James Mouton to 360 days in jail. But they stay the execution of the jail time so long as the 40-year-old remains law-abiding during his 2-year probation.
He's going to school?
Yeah. They were misdemeanor level.
Who's the old kid with the shotgun?
He's trying to turn his life around, Steve. Yeah.
He pleaded guilty to the count, and apparently he had written this post on Facebook. He wrote, I'm about to lose my S on this mother effing school. The classroom on the schedule is not where the effing class is, one post read.
Wow.
When a school staff member at St. Paul College who saw the post suggested that he drop by the advising center for help, Moulton said his frustration was nearing a violent breaking point. He said, it's taking just about everything I have to not grab my shotgun and go shoot two bitches in the face.
Whoa.
The universe.
Mom, where are my shotgun shells? They're in your lunchbox.
He said the universe just doesn't want me to be a goddamn CNC machinist.
Wow.
Moulton was enrolled.
That's probably true.
At St. Paul College, computer numerical control toolmaking diploma program at the time. Police arrested him without incident when he returned to the advising center the following day. No firearm was on the 40-year-old at the time, but police did report finding a folding knife and brass knuckles.
It seems he doesn't get well along with others.
Moulton told police his post was, quote, stupid and wasn't aimed at any person, and he didn't identify the school.
It was a big goddamn mistake.
That's right. Listen to these people. A couple is accused of planting bikes in front of their home to lure thieves and then would beat them with aluminum bats.
My God. Well, if you don't have a PlayStation.
The couple allegedly bragged about their escapades to neighbors and posted videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've set the trap. According to somebody right now.
Gotcha!
According to Police Lieutenant Ron Epp, they would run out, chase down that subject, assault that subject, and recover their bike, but they would never call us, he said.
All right, place the bike back there.
investigators say Corey Kernett and Savannah Grillett had been victims of car break-ins themselves, and that's when they decided to take the law into their own hands. They left unattended bikes in front of their home. In one video, a man takes a bike from in front of his home, and then another man, believed to be Kernett, emerges from the home shirtless, carrying a bat and chasing after the thief.
I couldn't help but notice you were admiring my bicycle.
Epps.
You're the disease. I'm the cure.
And you're not wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
Epp says the department was first alerted to the bait bike videos in July. And the attacks allegedly continued through November. Clips.
Why didn't they put the bike under a big box with a stick print?
Clips posted to Kernett's public YouTube account are what helped them make the arrest. Those videos have since been taken down. Police say there are at least four victims who were beaten with bats. Both of these people are in jail, by the way. All right, we'll do one more story, and then we will get to the concert announcement. Back in April, Jane Wilson found what she thought was an old plate lying on the beach. The truth is a bit more explosive than that. Wilson was walking her client's dog, she's a private home health aide, around sunrise on Indian River shores in Florida. And she likes collecting sea glass, so she's examining the seashell beds as she walks, just in case something caught her eye, and something did. Laying atop the sand that day was what looked like a plate, maybe lost long ago off of a Spanish ship or something like that. So she took it home. And for months, she chipped away at the shells and barnacles crusted on its surface, storing it in a lunchbox cooler filled with water. Then on Tuesday, there was a post on a community webpage about a man who found a landmine.
Oh, no.
And a friend sent it over to Wilson saying, "Hey, Jane, is that thing that you have in that cooler on your living room floor this?"
Well, let me take a...
And that's when she realized she had what she had stored at home. For the past 9 months, she had been chipping away at a landmine.
Oh, my God.
She called the police, who told her to evacuate her home while they notified a nearby Air Force base to pick up the mine. She, though, reasoned that if it hadn't gone off in the last few months, it's probably not going to go off now. So instead, she took it to her client's house.
Yeah, it's not going to go off anytime soon.
And she decided to leave it outside for the authorities to collect.
Oh, my God.
It's clearly broken.
She had been chipping away at a landmine.
It's not a landmine, it's a plane.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Discovered what officials described as an illegal homemade gas station in someone's backyard.
You got to do something, make some money.
Fire and Rescue shared images of the makeshift gas station discovered by firefighters, showing two yellow tanks in the corner of a walled yard with gas pump with a gas pump nozzle on one end of the hose.
It's not really gas. It's Five Alive.
Did they get this idea from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Okay, because there was an episode where they were going to invest in gasoline because they figured gas prices are going up. So whatever they bought it for today, they'll be able to sell.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they did.
The hose was long enough to reach from the yard to the street for possible curbside fill-ups, the department said.
That's great.
The backyard station may be part of an illegal trend involving people who purchase gasoline with stolen credit card information before emptying the fuel into storage containers of private homes.
And there's probably a risk of explosion and other things, right?
The city's code enforcement, is investigating the case, and citations are possible for the homeowner.
Because I was going to set up a nuclear power plant in my backyard, but I thought better of it.
A 22-year-old suspect stole golf balls from an elderly man, then beat him after claiming that he was going to apologize. Deputy said They were called to Stone Creek Golf Club Wednesday morning, found the 67-year-old victim suffering from multiple bruises, a black eye that was swollen nearly shut, injuries to his mouth, and a broken rib.
Why the hell would they do that?
He was taken to the hospital. He received 9 stitches. The victim said he was golfing when Tyler Dearden started taking golf balls out of his bucket. I guess they were at the driving range. Yeah. And when he told him to stop, Dearden began yelling and cursing at the man. So Dearden followed the victim as he went to the pro shop to report the incident. And when the victim went back to the driving range, Dearden claimed he wanted to apologize, but instead he punched the victim in the face and knocked him to the ground.
Liar!
Deputy said witnesses saw Dearden hitting the victim in the head, punching him repeatedly, and kicking him in the chest. Dearden claimed that he was defending himself because the elderly man, quote, pointed a golf club at him.
Was it loaded?
That's what I'm not sure. That might have been the misunderstanding.
I always think of these driving ranges as a lot more sedate and relaxing. Yes,
very much so, unless you get a psycho who shows up there. Dearden was also upset about being kicked out of the golf club since he lives in the community. He was arrested on a charge of aggravated battery.
I don't need your stupid golf club.
Police say a woman has been charged with murder after a man with dog bites was found dead. The state trooper on the case said they'll be able to tell if it was a gunshot, a dog bite, or a heart attack. Deputies responded,
That's the kind of tech we have now. We can discern between a dog bite, a gunshot, or a heart attack.
Deputies responded to a 911 call when they got to the home on, by the way, on Pug Lane, where this guy was bit by a dog.
And it was a dog bite.
They were met by an overly aggressive dog. 38-year-old Melissa Wolke sicked her pit bull on a man. A neighbor who called 911 says she witnessed Wolke attacking a man and giving her dog commands to attack him. When officers arrived at the home, they found Wolke in the backyard sitting on the man and punching him in the face while the dog was attacking him. In the interest for their safety and everyone in the neighborhood, they had to put the animal down. The victim had dog bites on his face and head, but no one could say for certain if he was killed by those bite wounds. According to Wolke's arrest citation, she appeared to have blood on her hands and feet and a large clump of hair in her hands that were consistent with the victim's hair. During an interview, Wolke said that she was, quote, going redneck on a man and that she was the owner of the pit bull, who she calls Denali. Autopsies will be conducted on both the victim and the dog to determine a possible cause of death.
So then there was a heart attack as a result of all this?
They don't know. They're not sure.
He was so scared of the dog, he had a heart attack, and then he shot himself before he could die of the heart attack?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe while he was being beaten, it was just too much for his heart to take. Maybe he had a condition. I don't really know, but they're looking into it.
Good luck.
All right, one last story. This one's pretty wild. A Utah man has been rescued from the Alaskan wilderness approximately 3 weeks after a fire burned his home to the ground, killed his dog, and left him without much food, clothing, or shelter. Tyson Steele was found among the rubble of his remote homestead on Thursday morning.
Man, that's a superhero name.
Tyson Steele? Yeah. Well, after friends asked authorities, they found him after friends asked authorities to perform a welfare check after not hearing from him. In aerial footage shared by the troopers, Tyson steps out among the snow-covered remains of his home, waving to the troopers in a helicopter. A large SOS was carved out of the snow behind him. He said, everything that I owned was consolidated in that cabin. In the weeks after the fire, Steele said that he survived on the remnants of canned rations and peanut butter, sleeping in a snow cave and makeshift shelter that he built around his wood stove.
Sounds fun.
Steele had been living on his homestead since September. He described his home as a conset hut, a lightweight frame covered in plastic tarps that he bought from a Vietnam veteran.
Not very durable.
No, he admitted to the troopers that the fire resulted from a hasty mistake. In a hurry to get a fire started, he stuck a large piece of cardboard into his wood stove. He believes a piece of the flaming cardboard went out of the chimney and then landed on the roof. He woke up in the middle of the night, and he couldn't recall the exact date, but he heard melting plastic coming from the roof.
Jesus Christ.
After Steele stepped outside, he said, I just see that the whole roof is on fire. He started grabbing everything that he could, including blankets and a rifle, but his real priority was his 6-year-old chocolate lab, Phil. He ordered Phil outside. When he jumped off the bed, Steele assumed that he had left the house. But when he went outside, he heard Phil howling, the dog didn't make it. Yeah, I said that at the top. The dog died. Steele didn't have much time to mourn, though. He needed a survival plan. He didn't know enough about the surrounding area, including which of the many waterways in the area would be frozen over enough to cross. He gathered the food that survived the fire, enough to have 2 cans a day for a month. But a lot of the food had popped open in the heat of the blaze. He had a phone, but it didn't work, and so he waited for people to call about him. He had
forgotten to spell SOS.
He made an SOS signal in the snow, tracing it with ash from the fire to make it stand out.
It's actually really, he did a good job. It's very readable from the air. Did you see it?
Yeah. It was so cold, he said, that his urine would freeze in a bucket by the fire after just a few minutes.
That's pretty cool.
But finally, about 20 days after the fire, he saw the Alaska State Troopers helicopter from above, and they saved him. So he was not going to make it.
Yeah.
Got lucky that they came across him.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.